This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
After many months of knowing that the Knicks were going to go to the postseason and many weeks knowing that they were going to be the 3 seed most likely, we officially have the matchup. The Knicks and the Pistons, round one, Saturday, 6 o'clock will be game one. And of course, none of these series are going to be easy. But, you know, this Pistons team reminds me of the first Knicks team that made it to the playoffs with Julius Randle and Tom Thibodeau, where it had been a while since they made the playoffs. You know, very, very tough, outworking guys, you know, just having that exuberance because they hadn't been there, a fan base that had seen a lot of good basketball being reinvigorated. I mean, that's what it feels like to me. And that team obviously ran into a more talented team with Trae Young at the time that went to the conference finals. So I expect a similar situation here. I do like the Knicks in six. I don't believe that it's going to be scary. I don't think it's going to get to that point where we have a game seven, but the Pistons are going to win some games. They're going to push around the Knicks. It's going to be physical. They've got absolutely nothing to lose, and they've got, you know, a budding superstar in Cade Cunningham. But, you know, I'm really, really curious to see what team we get when this series starts. Do we get a different defensive team? Do we get a better three-point defending team? Or are we just going to get the same team we've been watching in the regular season?
Well, so the Pistons beat the Knicks 3 games to one in the 4 games that they played this regular season. And the Pistons are a team that, if I had to guess, I would think, obviously, they probably don't believe that they're the underdog, but they're going to be told that they're the underdog.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the chip on their shoulder that they're going to bring to the series. There's no question about it. So for us, as Knicks fans, this is what we've been waiting for. This is now the moment in time where, you know, you've played an entire season together. You're pretty much healthy all across the board. And this is the team that they put together thinking that they could challenge the Celtics, let alone who knew that the Cavaliers were going to turn into what they turned into this year. So, I don't think this is going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination with this first round. I think it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a knockdown, drawn-out battle. I think it will go seven. I don't think it's
really
going to. Really? I do. Really do. I just have a feeling it will. Unless somebody gets hurt, you know, on either team that is of significance, but this is where you find out whether Knicks have been just toying with us all year long, or are they the team that we think that can win a championship. I personally appreciated their hustle this year, appreciated the fact that Mikal Bridges ended up playing all 82 games, which I think is a real testament to him, and he's done it for 7 years in a row. I think that's great, and I think that's the kind of attitude that you want, but this is not going to be easy, and again, they're the Knicks, so they come in with all this hype around them. And don't think for a moment that a team like Detroit isn't thinking like, hey, we just beat these guys 3 out of 4 times.
No, absolutely. And, you know, that's a scary first round opponent with a team that you feel has got nothing to lose. I mean, they're not supposed to win this series, but they're so tough. That, you know, they are the team that Knicks fans wanted this team to be more like from a toughness standpoint. But I still think that the talent disparity is going to be too much for the Pistons to handle. But, I mean, right now, if I had to look forward and try to handicap this thing, I think the Knicks win this series in 5 or 6 and then end up losing to the Celtics in 5 or 6. I mean, that's where I kind of am with them right now, unfortunately. But that can change. I mean, if they go out and just wax the Pistons and then everything we ever wanted this team to be comes out because they're finally at the playoffs, then I'll feel a little bit differently about them. But, you know, I heard this cut from Tibbs as I was driving in. Anthony Gallo was playing. He's filling in for C-Mac for a couple days this week. And like it was the most alarmed I'd heard Tibbs the entire year. And he's basically going, you know, he goes, you know, we got to get this stuff fixed. And he goes, well, and the guy goes, what do you have to get fixed? And he goes, everything. We got to fix it quick. And I'm like, what? Well, where did that come from?
Well, maybe he's putting like a little bit of pressure on his players. And, you know, he knows internally what they do well and what they don't do well. And what they don't do well is they don't defend three-pointers well. And if they're playing against these teams that are going to be shooting well, then they're going to have problems. And I think that's one of the things that he's probably talking about, amongst other things that he sees that maybe the you know, we as the fans don't see it as quite as much. And I think it's a little bit of hustle. I think it's switching on defense. I think his number one problem is the way they play defense.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably frustrating as hell for him because that's been his MO his entire career as a coach. And we talked a little bit about this, while you were out. But it's just the reality of the situation. I don't think Tibbs deserves to be fired by any stretch, and I'm not in any way at this point calling for his job. I mean, if they end up losing the first round series, it's going to be a conversation about it. But it's not so much that, you know, if they lost this series or got waxed in the second round by the Celtics, I wouldn't say it's because Tibbs is a bad coach. But sometimes in the NBA, like the style that he coaches doesn't fit the roster he has.
Let me just explain something to you. The Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
Just fired Mike Malone and the GM.
That's right.
With 3 games left to go in a regular season, and they're the 4th seed, I believe, out in the West.
Yeah, I mean,
they
won a championship a couple years ago.
And he was a championship coach. And, you know, you hear Jamal Murray talking about Mike Malone saying that he always had my back, he always picked me up, and it seemed like Jamal Murray really liked the coach. But for some reason, the coach and the GM didn't seem to be getting along out there. Maybe it was the GM wanted certain players playing, and Malone didn't want to play those players. And then in the midst of it all, it seemed like everybody had to pick one side or the other with inside the organization. And then Kroenke sees that and says, you know, we're just going to get rid of both of you. And we're going to try to clean this up. We're going to try to make everybody happy. And it's going to be really interesting to see what they do in the playoffs, given what just happened to them.
Yeah. I mean, you had 2 teams with winning records going to the playoffs fire their coach at the end of the regular season, which is unheard of. I mean, 3 things that happened this year is unheard of. The Luka trade, which is something that we'd never really seen with a superstar that came out of nowhere like that, and then 2 coaches fired teams that are going to the playoffs.
It's crazy.
So
you told me that they lost to the Detroit Pistons, somebody's losing their job. Just like, you know, as much as Peter Laviolette, you know, led this team to the President's Trophy last year and everything else, for whatever reason, and it started week 1, and it could have been a series of events that took place last year that bled into this season for the Rangers to end up, you know, flat on their face and not make it back to the playoffs after being the President's Trophy winner, one of, I think, 4 or 5 teams in the history of the league to obviously have that distinction bestowed upon them, which is what you would not want. But and the coach kept saying, well, we got to fix this. Well, what the F are you doing? You're the coach.
Yeah.
And then if your message is not translating to the players, the ownership will see it. You know, Leon Rose will see this. I mean, I'm an advocate for Tom Thibodeau. I like him. And I've always liked him since the first day he got here. And I really thought he got more out of this team than you could have asked any other coach, especially after the coaches we had prior to him.
Yeah, I mean, and this was it. They went all in. This was the roster they thought could win a championship. They waited and waited and waited with the picks. Then they struck with Mikal Bridges. And then they ended up going and getting Karl Anthony Towns. And now that they're locked in and there's contracts and OG and Towns and Brunson and everything else, you know, it's going to be very difficult to shake up the roster and make it better from a talent standpoint because of that. So what do you do in that situation? You make a coaching change. But I got to see how it plays out. But there's no doubt that he is not Teflon at all.
No, he's not. And I would say if they could have kept Hartenstein and got rid of Mitchell Robinson, it would have been better. But
they couldn't. Yeah, it was just the wacky, stupid NBA rules where there's some players you're allowed to pay more than the rest of the league does with the bird rights. And in this particular case, the Knicks could only pay him up to a certain point and another organization could pay him more, which I don't understand at all. And if the Knicks were allowed to pay him as much as they wanted to, he'd probably still be here. But yeah, I mean, that's, and you have to trade something to get something with Towns and DiVincenzo. You know, he ends up going. But yeah, Hartenstein was a...
If they could have hit Hartenstein and DiVincenzo somehow and acquired Towns... That would have been something. That would have been the team. I think that would have been the team that we all would have sat here and said, they got a real chance because there's going to be some grit that's associated with that team. Now, I think Josh Hart has all the grit in the world, and I think that Mitchell Robinson, when healthy, can be a force on defense and on the boards. But I don't know. Those two players in particular, losing them from last year's team created a different dynamic with this team.